If you want jazz music, go to New Orleans. Bagels, New York. And for psychics, think California Psychics. You want the best, you go to the best. At California Psychics, home of free spirits and open minds, we know better than anyone what makes a good psychic. That's why we guarantee, if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com and experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
No way, Jose.
The following footage proves beyond any doubt that the tanks intentionally set the house on fire. It proves that the Branch Davidians were murdered. You can see that this tank has a gas jet on the front that shoots fire. You can also see the fire quite plainly. The tank goes into the house twice, and each time as it backs out, the fire at the gas jet is plainly visible.
We must all do more to recognize and look for the early warning signals that deeply troubled young people send.
What's up, guys? Welcome to another morning stream on No Way Jose with your boy, Jose Galison. With your boy, that sounded really gay. Well, we wait for people to start rolling into this stream. Keep in mind, this is a live stream. If you guys have questions, comments, whatever, drop them in the comments, and I'll be trying to be as interactive as I can with you guys while going through some stuff, kind of some articles there, may or may not have read already, some threads, just kind of like, I guess, stuff that I already was probably going to dig into at some point on my own, but now I'm bringing you guys along with me, and we're going to kind of flesh them out together. But while we wait for people to come in, I do want to let you guys know that today's episode was brought to you by our friends over at Nadeau Shave Co. If you're tired of fucking your face up, these are your guys. I guess to some degree, I don't know. I mean, I guess you could go nuts and do it wrong and fuck yourself up, but if you're shaving right, you're going to get a better shave, a much better shave with Nadeau, as opposed to those multi-blade cartridges. Go back to traditional shave. You don't need expensive nonsense. It's high quality shit, dude. Whether you're shaving your whole face or just edging up, these single blades give you a barber grade shave for a fraction of the price. This is legit. It's much better for your face. It's much cheaper. There's no reason not to. The standard issue includes one traditional safety razor and a box of 100 stainless steel razor blades. $75 allows you to shave for an entire year. And that's 100 blades. And I mean, I don't know how frequently you guys shave, but like, what, there's 52 weeks in a year? If you only shave once a week, like let's be real. That's going to last you 2 years. Like, I mean, it depends on your frequency, obviously. And even then, that's swapping out every single time. But if you're one of those people who shave on the reg every single day and 100 stainless steel blades is not going to cut it for you, then you need to get the Quarter Shave Club. That'll be 25 cents per replacement blade for you. But you really can't beat it. I mean, compare it to your other options, the high-tech shit out there that's supposedly better for you, which is a complete lie. Compare. Just, you know, it's like, what, $30 probably each time you get a pack of three or so or more. I mean, I don't know. It's been a while since I've had it. Inflation's probably kicked in. So, I don't know. Something for you guys to consider. He's got shave soap, too, now. Also, keep in mind, this is COVID mandate refusing company. This company was literally born out of refusing the mandate. I'm proud to that they sponsor me. I'm proud that we work together. It's a good company, good cause. But use code Jose for 10% off your entire order at AdoShaveCo.com. All right, let's see what we got in here. By the way, guys, make sure to let me know if I sound good and everything's good, because usually how this works is when you, I usually have guests and then you come on and like it's, you're like, someone be like, hey, you're a little low, oh, you're a little high, this, that, and you kind of adjust. But with just me, it's way more open to mistakes. So yeah, give me a little heads up if you can on that. That'd be appreciated. If you guys see me slipping, let me know. I have a few things for you guys today. Okay, cool. Farm Girl A6 sounds good. Thank you. I have a few things to go for you guys today. I figured I'd start off with, I just feel like I probably got to address it. I guess I don't have to. I feel gay even addressing it at all. I see. Sound is good. Sounds good. Audio is good. Less cat noises. Yeah. I don't know what is going on, but maybe the cat from the other day that was all horned up, I guess maybe it's chill now. I don't know. Maybe sleeping. I don't know. Either way, it's quiet in the house. It's kind of weird. I don't know if I just hit just the right time in these kitty cats' circadian rhythm where they're being quiet. But here we are. Probably knock on wood. I'll probably get shitty here in a minute. But I figured I probably should address, since I've been on a few times, maybe you guys care or maybe you don't, my thoughts on it. But there was a big thing the other day for, I guess for anyone really on Twitter, if you follow the show regularly, maybe you would notice this, but there was a whole thing where I guess Timcast was, you know, kind of implying that he was very likely to quit, or Timcast, say Tim Pool, very likely to quit or restructure. It was kind of unclear what he was kind of saying they were going to do, but essentially it seemed like he was upset at some of his staff or whatever. I don't know. And then, I mean, this is, you know, now, then a day later, yesterday, he then came out and said, oh, never mind, I'm not quitting, but I'm going to restructure some things and probably make it so I'm doing less. And the reasoning being, and he hadn't said this the day prior, so, you know, everyone just kind of had him kind of, I don't know, being weird and, you know, almost, I don't know, it's kind of, honestly, it's kind of bitchy. If you guys, anyone saw the little clip of him, I didn't watch the whole show, so maybe if I watched the whole show, I'd see it in a different context, but the clips that were, you know, fairly multiple minute long clips kind of came off as bitchy, to be honest with you. I know you guys know I have a pass. I was, did 11 years active duty military, so like, I made it to like, what, E6, so I was like mid-level management. I was a sergeant, so I was like handling people and stuff, so they've definitely put their time in and teaching me leadership and stuff like that. So like, I don't know, to some extent I feel like I do have a grip better than a lot of people on the concept of leadership, because I've definitely had to lead people. And, you know, I'm not saying that just because I'm military. If you were someone who's like a manager somewhere and you did run a crew or whatever, it may be different. And also, I'm generally was leading men. Like, that's typically what the military consists of. I mean, there are some women, and there's hurdles there. But point being is, I don't know, I just feel like there. While I do rag on the military, there are some perks, and I do think that's probably one of them. I do think tend to be the men that get scooped up there, and a lot of times men go through there with better leadership skills after than before going in. And it also tends to attract people who are attracted to the idea of being leaders. I thought it was pretty gay. I'll be honest. It was him complaining about his staff, and it just seemed like not the sort of thing a good leader would do, which that's what he is. He's the one running the company, whatever. He's doing better than me, I guess. So I guess in that sense, cool. But I guess I thought that was kind of whack. But whatever. And then the next day he came in and said the reason why is because his wife is pregnant. They're going to have a kid. His wife, his girlfriend, they're going to get married. And so he's just concerned about wanting to restructure things and wanting to dial back so he can have a family. That's fair. But, I mean, I don't know. It just seemed like that was almost like came off as an excuse for the prior thing. I don't know. Very weird. But whatever. But it seems like I don't know what's going on there. I'm not following along enough. It looks like some of the staff might be getting shit-canned. Is what it seems like. I saw Cassandra McDonald, the booker, made some sort of comment about something about employment or something like that. So I don't know to what extent I should take that as who's joking or who's, you know, what. I don't know. I mean, the people I've seen Cassandra make a post about something like that, and then I've seen
One that I kind of took semi-seriously, like, as implied. Like, I've seen ones that were jokes that was, like, I don't know what that means. And I saw other ones that I'm like, I don't think that's a joke. So, Cassandra McDonald and Hannah Claire Brimelow, I think is her last name, who, I mean, both of them, cool people. I mean, I know Cassandra better than I do Hannah, although I did, I've been on IRL twice, as some of you guys know. The second time I went on and Hannah was there, so, I don't know, I really got a good impression from her. She's a really sweet girl. So I don't know what happened, why she's, I guess, supposedly looking for another job. Unless it's some sort of joke that I missed, I don't know. So I guess it looks like he is downsizing. So I don't know. That's what it looks like. It just seemed like not a very professional way or a good way to garner respect from your peers. I don't know. I feel like a good leader usually tries to take it. No audio. Fuck you. Bullshit. You son of a bitch. Don't mess with me. But yeah, anyways, I don't know. I didn't like how that looked. I mean, congrats to him for having a kid. I mean, I think maybe, I don't know, maybe that might correct some of his weird isms in life. I have no idea. I mean, I personally don't have any problems with him, just to be clear. I mean, I don't, I mean, we talked about this a little bit in the last episode, how people in their impressions of like people like me or like podcasters who do go on shows like this or get these guests or that guest and like what kind of relationships they have with them. I have zero relationship with Tim. Like, we are literally acquaintance level. He probably may not even know who I am. Like, he probably has forgotten about my existence. I wouldn't be surprised. Like, that's because he does a daily show. As a new guest every single day, I've done it twice. So, like, first time I did it, there was, like, a very much, it was a standoff, like, kind of shook hands, was very, like, very standoffish, like, I don't know, very, but second time there's a tiny bit more rapport. It almost felt like he recognized me. He was very, a little bit more friendlier, like, he let the guard down, but that's it. Like, literally, it was, like, a friendly acquaintance at best. So I don't know. That's just my impression. But I will say the staff there, which is what I kind of was getting at, I've been nothing but impressed by. I don't think I have any staff members I've really had any issues with. We did have one guy with an issue with, but then it cleared up later. It was like a misunderstanding, and he's actually really cool now. So I don't know. I mean, the staff over there is great. So I don't know specifically who he's upset with. I don't really pay attention to the lore that enough, anyways. I'm just, that's what's going on over there, just so you guys are following. I mean, I don't know. Kind of came off as a hissy fit to me, but I mean, I understand. At the same time, though, like, a lot of the gripes he was saying is, like, understandable, but it's just, from a leadership perspective, it's like, you shouldn't be airing this out in front of the world, and, like, also, you should be taking responsibility and, like, kind of taking this on for yourself kind of deal. So, like, yeah, that's, I don't know. It just felt weird. Just, I don't know. But anyways, it looks like some of those people are going, like Cassandra, maybe. And Cassandra's really cool. She's the booker over there. I've interacted with her a lot. Had nothing but good interactions with her. So, but yeah. Can you hear him out? You guys are fucking with me. You guys. All right, let's, but yeah, that's all I want to talk about that. I don't really have any deeper thoughts. I just thought it was kind of weird that that's going on over there. I mean, I don't know, I guess you guys' thoughts. I did thought it was kind of gay, to be honest with you. And I like the people that work there. So, I mean, it's kind of like him kind of blaming the staff for stuff. I'm just like, I don't know. Everyone I've dealt with has been cool, but I don't know. Maybe there's some person that's doing some shit behind the scenes that's not cool. Or maybe they are being lazy. But I also get the complaints you'd have. It was kind of the idea that, like, oh, they're getting lazy and taking advantage of him. It's kind of like, well, I mean, to some extent as a leader, that's on you. Like, of course, like, you set the, you frame the situation. Like, you're the one who sets it up. You put the incentives in place. You're the one who decides how people treat you by how you interact with them. Like, this is on you. This is your operation. So, I don't know. I just thought it was gay. I mean, that's all it is. But, I mean, but with fair complaints. Like, I can understand. Like, that's something that you have a conversation with someone behind closed doors, either the person or another person that, you know, you feel like you can confide in to kind of, how do we address this? I just don't understand the idea of bringing this public. I mean, other than just trying to shame an individual or something. I don't know. I found it kind of gay and a little bit gross. But, I mean, good for him that he's having a kid. Maybe that will solve these sort of things. Because I don't know. It just kind of seems like one of those man type things. Where, like, so maybe having a kid and a wife will change things a little bit. And, I don't know, make him not be do things like this? I don't know. I mean, but then again, I don't follow him enough to really, know all the lore of his drama. So I know a lot of people are like, oh, he's gay. Here's this. I don't know. I barely pay attention to him. And this, I was just like, was not impressed by that. I found that pretty gross. But it is what it is. Whatever. I mean, whatever. Maybe that means I won't get put on the show. Whatever. but yeah. I don't know. By the way, I do want to say I'm very grateful for going to the show. Although, to be honest, I was probably more product of Cassandra than it was anything else, because I think he delegates that completely, which is what you should do. But I am appreciative that, you know, I was able to go on there. So, but I mean, I don't know. I just figured maybe you guys might want to hear my thoughts. I don't know. I feel kind of gay talking about it, period. But yeah, I don't know. I think they should keep going. I don't understand how, like, I mean, I do think it seems like this is probably an entity that's probably a little top-heavy. Like, I don't know, you'd think you'd want to be a little bit more lean. But aside from that, I'd say generally speaking, well, don't get me wrong, I definitely a lot of takes in there. I'm like, that's gay. But, like, generally speaking, it's probably a positive thing overall. So I think they should probably keep going with it. It seems pretty easy. It's kind of, I don't know. I mean, obviously, I'm not running an entity that large, and I'm sure it does get stressful at that size. But it's like, I don't know. It's a podcast. Like, if you're letting it get that stressful to some extent, that's kind of on you. I don't know. It is what it is. I mean, but yeah, I do think this. They should keep going. They should keep doing what they're doing. But I mean, whatever. That's on him. I don't know. Whatever. That's enough. That's all I'm going to go on about that. I feel gay even talking about it. But just kind of update on what's going on there. But there were a couple things that some people, I think it was actually on Already Dead last night, people brought up things I hadn't heard that were that had happened. And, you know, so this will be my first time going through these with you guys. But let me bring up the first one. Someone told me that, and that, like I said, I'm viewing this with you guys for the first time. Someone told me that there was some sort of spy who essentially threatened American politicians on Piers Morgan, and I guess this was pretty recently. So, yeah, a few people told me that. A few people tagged me online. Thank you for those who did that. Someone shared it to me on Telegram, and then someone shared it to me on Twitter. Twitter is preferable. I will give you guys that, because it's let you guys know that. Because if it's like on Telegram, it was like a file, and so it's like then it's like a whole. For just a logistics, so you guys know how this works, I got to go then go behind the scenes. Oh, damn it. I got cats fighting. One second. Sorry, I don't know what happened. Someone got mad over there and cats got into it. I had to yell at them. All right. Anyways. Oh, see? So I guess it was my phone. Never mind. I thought you were fucking with me. I've had people come in here and mess with me before. Pretty funny prank, though, to pull on somebody to tell them their audio's not working. I will say that. But anyways, thanks for tagging me in that, guys. But yeah, if you can, if you have an option between the like two things, go do like a link to something, like a media link, as opposed to like a file or something, because it's easier logistically on the stream to bring this up. Just saying. It takes less prep. I mean, it'll just share the screen. Voila. All right, let's get into this, and then we'll talk about it.
The Iranian nuclear program is going to be destroyed, and anyone who gets in the way, it doesn't matter where they are, even if they are politicians in the West, they are going to fall because we cannot afford.
Hold on. Did you hear what he just said? He threatened politicians in the West that if they don't agree with Israel's war against Iran, that they're going to fall. And remember, he's an Israeli agent. Are you saying Israel will murder politicians in the West or get rid of them politically? Through bribery or whatever else? What do you mean the politicians in the West will fall if they don't agree that to back Israel's war against Iran?
Yeah, we will not vote for them anymore.
Oh, no, well, you don't vote for them now. You're not in our country. What do you mean the politicians will fall?
We live in democracy, and we have the right to bring them up and to bring them down. Those who agree with Ayatollah, we don't want them in office. And all the sympathizers with terrorists like yourself, we don't want them even to be in our country.
Who is we, and how are you bringing down politicians in the West if they dare to defy Israel? Tell me how you're bringing them down.
I already answered you that.
Are you going to murder them, or are you going to bribe them? Are you going to bribe someone else? Who are you going to do?
All right. Well, I don't know what to make of that. I mean, obviously, don't get me wrong. Like, these guys, obviously, I don't know if that was his implication there. I don't know. Let me watch that first little bit again. I want to get a feel for that real quick.
Iranian nuclear program is going to be destroyed. And anyone who gets in the way, it doesn't matter where they are, even if they are politicians in the West, they are going to fall because we cannot afford.
Hold on. Did you hear what he just said?
Okay.
He
all threatened- right. I mean, good on Cenk. Generally, he can be obnoxious, but good on Cenk for pushing him on that. But I will say, I don't know. I mean, it's not really over that he meant it in a threatening way. Obviously, there's like a kind of a slight implication. I mean, I know someone says, Carl says, watch his face when he says voting, but you also got to think there's a language barrier here. He's probably being a little smug. Look, it sounds like I'm running cover for Israel right now, but I'm just saying so far as like being alarmed, like, oh my God, like, ooh, Ethan. I don't know. I mean, it seems it's a little clickbaity to say he threatened politicians in the West. I mean, I guess he did technically even threaten them, but I mean, yeah, I don't know. People speak this way sometimes and it's kind of fair somewhat to say like means of democracy. Now what do you mean by that? Like, oh, we're going to smear you, whatever. It's just big talk. I mean, don't get me wrong, Mossad backs this tough talk up, so that's what makes this a little bit more like whoa. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, interesting clip, I guess, but I don't think it's all that substantive, to be completely honest. But yeah, I mean, good on Borat. Oh, not Borat. Everyone keeps saying it looks like Borat in the chat. But good on Cenk for pushing him on that. But really, he didn't get anything out of that other than, you know, I mean, getting a chance to kind of exploit the idea that this is the sort of things they do. They blackmail. They do pretty overt espionage type stuff in order to get their way. So that was what the implication was there. I mean, you know, Cenk got a chance to kind of point that out. That's the way they operate. But I don't know. I wouldn't put much into it insofar as like he actually meant something by that. I don't know. Whatever. Okay. Well, thanks for bringing that up, guys. Now we have one. All right. Here's another one that you guys brought up that I'm bringing up because of you guys. I guess the prior Abercrombie and Fitch guy got busted. Let me bring this. Boop, shit. No. Boop, boop, boop. There we go. All right, yeah, the previous, just to kind of sum this up, this is like a little 2-minute clip. I figure you guys might get, this would be work for you guys. Also, Ian Carroll covered it too. I think it was like a 10-minute one. I know a lot of people like him these days, so you can go check him out on Twitter. He has a 10-minute breakdown. I haven't checked that one out yet. I mean, the long and short of it's essentially the previous, God, I'm a brain fart, CEO of Abercrombie & Fitch, back in the days where, I mean, like people my age, like I'm early 30s, you guys remember old school Abercrombie where it was like they'd have these dudes with like skinny fucking twig dudes with rock hard abs hanging out right at the front of the thing, and they'd have some like teeny bopper skinny little broad hanging out in the front, and you'd go in there, it'd smell like all the clothes are way too small, and like, if you're really a large, then it's like you need to buy like an extra large. And even then, it's going to be like for me being a short, bulky guy, everything I ever got from Abercrombie, even when I wasn't as bulky as I am now, like say when I was like 160 in high school or something and like 5'5", like all of their clothes, it'd be like especially say I got a long sleeve. The long sleeve would be like way too fucking long and it'd be way too tight, even if I got the proper size. Like their clothes run tight and they run long, like because they're made for tall, skinny people. So, I mean, there's a lot of stories about the kind of people they hire and stuff, you know, and they were very not cool with like thicker people, which I mean, fair, that's fine. That's, you set your brand. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying like, that was like kind of what that brand was known for. And this was under the reign of that previous CEO. The new CEO, if anyone goes to Abercrombie Fitch these days, is a little bit more gut with the times. They're not as elitist in that way, which, you know, you can look at it good or bad. I don't know. It really depends on the market. We're talking about a fucking product here. So, but the whole point of this is that the previous dude got busted for sex trafficking. And it gets to kind of like a gay one. But yeah, it's a little bit interesting. Let's go. I want to look into your guys' chats real quick, see if there's anything in there. Yeah, the smile gives him away. He changes tune when he realized Nicholas Shackford. By the way, I'm going to try to do my best to try to make this amenable for those audio listeners out here, because I do put these out on podcasts. But my point being is right here, like Nicholas Shackelford says, I forget to do that. I always have this bad assumption that like everyone that's doing this is paying attention and looking the same things I am and hearing the same things I'm hearing.
But I need to kind of, for, especially for audio listeners, since you don't get the visual component, it sounds like I just all of a sudden just did a complete 90-degree turn and talking about something else. And you're like, whoa, you get confused. All right, Nicholas Shackelford says, yeah, the smile gives him away. He changed his tune when he realized he didn't agree. Most of these guys only work with people who agree with them. Yeah. No, I know. You don't have to say my name. I don't care, Jose. No, the reason why I'm saying that I need to say the name or to say so-and-so says is to so that for the audio listener, they don't get confused as fuck. So you guys are paying attention to the stream. You see I brought up a chat. Just saying. I have a bad habit. I need to work on that. All right, yeah. So I'm just letting you audio listeners know out there. Those are out there. Hang on. I'm getting better at it, okay? All right, we got to see Robin. Yep. What up, Fag? What's up? I totally forgot to let the Tower Gang Telegram know. Hey, Robin, you should let them know I'm doing one right now. I meant to let you guys know, give you guys a notification. But either way, yeah, here we are. Let's go ahead and get into this video. Make sure it's unmuted. Yep, it is. All right, let's do this.
Did you know that Taylor Swift was a model for Abercrombie and Fitch before she became famous? You know this Taylor Swift? I'm sure that's not ironic. Not just Taylor Swift, right? But Jamie Dornan, Channing Tatum, Olivia Wilde, Jennifer Lawrence, there's many more. And like it says here, stores did not sell clothes for women larger than a US size 10 until 2014 after Mr. Jeffries had left the company. You know the former CEO of Abercrombie & Fitch, which has been arrested on sex trafficking and interstate prostitution charges? And did you know, right, that Jeffries ran the company from 1992 to 2014 as the CEO and chairman? And did you actually know that Jeffries was hired in 1992 by Les Wexner, the CEO of L Brands, then named The Limited, to invigorate Abercrombie & Fitch? Did you know that that was the same Les Wexner, right, that allegedly for decades was Epstein's only publicly named client as a financial advisor? And the billionaire appears to be a key source of the $500 million fortune that Epstein left behind when he died in 2019. So how many people really knew about what was going on? I mean, these charges in themselves, right, allege that Jeffrey and his two associates organized, in quotation, sex events in England, France, Italy, Morocco, St. Bart's, and even New York. And allegedly, in quotations, they employ coercive, fraudulent, and deceptive tactics in connection with the recruitment, hiring, transportation, obtaining, maintaining, solicitation, and payment of the men to engage in commercial sex alone. And the men that apparently attended the events allegedly were led to believe that it could lead to modeling opportunities or help their careers or, in quotations, that not complying with requests for certain acts during the sex events could harm their careers. And they were even required to sign non-disclosure agreements and surrender their wallets and cell phones during the events. But the really interesting part is how many friends, especially in the fashion industry, that Mike Jeffries had. I mean, did you know that disgraced modeling agent and Jeffrey Epstein associate Jean-Luc Brunel, right, died by suicide in his prison cell in 2022? In December of 2020, Brunel was charged with rapes of minors over the age of 15 and sexual harassment, a crime in France. And wait a minute, where was one of the alleged locations of where Jeffries and his two associates apparently organized, in quotation, sex events at? Huh. Yeah, that's pretty crazy, huh? Not that people should really be surprised, but this entire situation goes pretty damn deep, I'd say.
All right, yeah, so there you go. That's the long and short of it. That dude was slinging dude butthole. It is kind of interesting to think, how much would it cost to get some Channing Tatum bussy? I don't know. It's an interesting question to be had. It makes you think about, if you guys watch, what was that movie? This Is the End, I think, Channing Tatum was in it. And he was literally like a sex slave at the end. So I don't know, it just came to mind as I was watching that. It's like, were they telling us something? Probably not. But either way, yeah. It, I don't know, it makes sense. It's one of those things that, like, in retrospect, you're like, oh, shit. That is, like, kind of the perfect little, like, scheme, you know, the Abercrombie and Fitch. If you were trying to run, like, a, you know, I don't know, 16 to 20 little twink-looking things, you know, like, you know, with chiseled abs and kind of, like, exactly what you would, you know, the stereotypically assume like a gay man would want or something. It's like, well, that's kind of, you kind of made the perfect little sexy little twink mill, I guess you could say. Someone's gonna fucking cut that up, make me look like a homo, but you get what I mean. It kind of makes sense that it would be like, oh, this is rife for issues, because anyone who's heard about like their hiring practices, at least through the grapevine, I don't know any like solid if this is true or not, but it's like, it is, there were standards in like how you looked and how big you were, you know,
how you present it. And even then, on top of that, then you would, depending on how you presented, you know, you would then, if you even got the job, then, you know, depending on how you presented is where you would be. Are you in the where? Are you in the back, you know, or are you like in the back where people can't even see you? Are you like the back of the store folding clothes? Are you in the front where everyone can see you? All that stuff makes a difference. But point being is it's kind of like it incentivizes like that. It's almost like a model, even just to become someone on the cashier, it's almost like an implied modeling job as well. You're auditioning. So it's like there's always that opportunity that you could be someone who goes above and beyond. So it's not that crazy if someone sees someone doughy-eyed at a certain store location and they just end up being someone who wanted to come in and get a fucking job, that then somehow all of a sudden now they get talked up of like, look how cute you are, like, wow, I think the executives over at wherever would really, really like you. Oh, I should, you know, introduce you to so and so. Oh, we could get you on this calendar, blah blah blah. Like it's not that crazy that, like, so it's like kind of a perfect pipeline to where, like, I mean, who doesn't like being like someone being like, oh, look how good you look, like, I bet you could do that, especially if you're going in for a job already that is kind of intrinsically like a vain position to be going for. So makes sense. I'm just saying, I don't know. I guess you're like, oh shit. And I didn't realize it had connections. Obviously there at the end, was it Les Wexner? I always fuck his name. But he's the guy who was like the Epstein associate. He was the one that Epstein essentially, I think, had a power of attorney to his ass. And so he was using all of his shit under his name, wild stuff. But he was the guy who like ran Victoria's Secret essentially. And was kind of like the Daddy Warbucks for Jeffrey Epstein. But by the way, I do want to let you guys know this guy is at BEAUTY.
Did you know that Taylor Swift Christ. Was a mod?
I didn't mean to start again. My bad. At Beauty, MARKED, Beauty Merc, is so I'm just letting you guys know. That's where I got it from. I don't follow this guy. I don't know. This is the only thing I've ever seen from him. I just was looking for a shorter version of kind of what Ian Carroll did. So here you go. But all right. Yep. Let's look through. Yes. Someone send that clip to Lainey. Hell yeah. Like, yeah. The Laineys. Those are the kind of people that they hired. Absolutely. Teens are retarded. Yes. Isn't the whole modeling industry based on making women look like prepubescent boys anyways? Yeah. I mean, so it makes sense. The cologne at Abercrombie & Fitch don't even fit my big ass. Yeah, that's pretty good. All right, show us your kitties. I don't know. I mean, you might see one behind me at some point. I don't know. All right, what do we got next? All right, I have a Ken Silva one, a Ken Silva article I want to go through with you guys. Let's do it. Boo, share screen. All right, FBI nabs 21-year-old schizophrenic who talked to undercover agent for 5 years. All right, the FBI arrested last week a 21-year-old alleged terrorist for trying to fight with ISIS in Africa. But the criminal complaint filed against the alleged terrorist, Michael Sam T.K. Jr., revealed that he's a severely mentally ill person who's been talking to an undercover FBI agent since he was 16. According to the October 15th criminal complaint, TK came on the FBI's radar shortly after September 2019 when he admitted he wanted to cut the head off of a fellow student and unalive him. TK was subject to emergency mental health petition at the time. The FBI learned, by the way, I wasn't unalive. I'm doing my best. I'm trying to do the not the bad words and see if that even makes a difference. I don't feel like it makes a difference, to be honest with you. But then again, every time I try not to do the naughty words, I end up throwing ones in anyway. So I don't know. Maybe I'm just putting too many in still. I don't know. We'll figure it out. I'm just figure why not? Why not try to change the word? But anyways, it feels gay though. I may stop at some point. I just like talking normally. Anyways, FBI learned of TK about 3 months later when agents learned that he was expressing extremist Islamist ideology online. Shortly thereafter, TK began interacting with a male online covert employee. They call them OCEs, I guess. The criminal complaint said, in January 2020, the FBI spoke with TK's parents and searched his laptop. TK was then subject of another emergency position and was hospitalized at the Psychiatric Institute of Washington. FBI agents interviewed him again a month later. He's still only 16 at the time, and he told them he wanted to go overseas. As a fighter had waned, and he felt he was being used by people online, the complaint said.
Okay, so this is 16. He said he doesn't want to fight anymore. And, all right. TK has since been diagnosed with early onset schizophrenia and a slew of other disorders. Fast forward more than 2 years, and TK was arrested for brandishing a knife outside of a school. He pled guilty to a misdemeanor charge of disorderly conduct and was given probation before judgment and plays on supervised probation until September 2025. In March 2023, TK again communicated with an undercover agent online about Islamic terrorism. In these conversations, he started mulling the idea of joining an ISIS affiliate in Africa, according to the criminal complaint. In WhatsApp conversations with the UCO in April 12th to 13th, 2023, TK clarified that Plan A is to go overseas, specifically West Africa, to conduct an attack. TK stated that Plan B is to conduct an attack in the U.S., but it's too risky anyways, the complaint said. It appears as though the undercover agent was a female luring him with promises of a romantic relationship. Keep in mind, this is a diagnosed schizophrenic man. Well, actually, not a man. I think he's still a kid. Is he a kid at this point? Let me run through the years. Okay, he was 16 in 2020. But this is 23. Okay, he's 19 at the time. All right, but still kind of fucked up. All right. The two discussed marriage repeatedly. All right, really fucked up. According to the FBI complaint, at one point, TK accused the agent of talking like you want to do an attack with me when they were discussing Israel. By early October of this year, TK had obtained a visa and a plane ticket to travel to Turkey. On October 14th, 2024, FBI agents observed TK travel the BWI airport in a rideshare vehicle, check in for flight BA228 bound for London, and proceed through the security checkpoint. TK was arrested at approximately 5:59 p.m., the complaint said. After being advised of his Miranda rights, TK made the following unprovoked statements, among others. I'll just get out in 20 years and do something here, okay? Okay, you will never stop me. Jihad will never stop, the complaint added. While making these statements, TK began kicking one of the FBI arresting persons. He then stated that he hoped to kill a guard while in prison. TK had an initial appearance in Maryland federal court on Monday. His arrest marked at least a sixth teenager arrested by the FBI in over the last year plus in highly dubious terrorist stings. In July 2023, the then 18-year-old Davin Meyer was arrested as he was about to board an international flight, also out of Denver, allegedly to travel the Middle East and fight for ISIS. Meyer's mother, who originally approached law enforcement out of concern for her son, said that the FBI entrapped the boy. Before Meyer was arrested in July 2023, the FBI announced in June that it arrested 18-year-old Matteo Ventura for intending to support ISIS. However, Ventura's father has also accused the FBI of entrapping his son. Oh, almost like there's a pattern. All along with Meyer and Ventura, the FBI arrested a 17-year-old boy in August 2023 for supposedly planning to carry out an ISIS-inspired terrorist attack on American soil. More recently, the FBI arrested a teenager in December who was supposedly on his way from Denver to fight for ISIS in the Middle East. But like the others, the details of that case show that the teenager, 18-year-old Hamza Mashkur, was targeted online since he was 16 by at least four undercover FBI agents. All right. So from 16 to 18, four undercover agents going after him. And moreover, Mashkur suffers from mental illness and has high-functioning autism, according to his family. And most recently, the FBI arrested 18-year-old Alexander Scott Mercurio in April on terrorism charges after targeting him for years in an investigation that involved at least three undercover informants and an undercover agent. Yeah, fucked up. Yeah, the FBI is the enemy of the people. All right. Let's look through these, see who, what we got. I got a bunch of them. I'm assuming maybe old Timeline Cleanse just wrapped up. Maybe I'm getting some of you guys coming on over. Let me see. No way, Jose. Yeah. Woo-hoo. You have to love guys named Leslie. Yeah, it's a little, I'm sorry for the Leslies out there that are good, but yeah. I meant to send the part where he said sexy twink mill to Lainey. Yeah, that's what Abercrombie Fitch used to be, just a little sexy twink mill. All right. David forgot to radio. TLC is coming. Yeah. Oh, hey guys from Grey Pill. What's up, bud? That's my producer over on Ari Dig. Go check out his podcast as well. Everyone's saying hi in the chat. Hi, Red Beer. Hi, Jules. JC, hit the thumbs up on the way in. Yeah, you motherfuckers. Hit that thumbs up, you pieces of shit. All right, well, I just screwed up the sensors there, I think. By the way, there's a couple more things I want to go through. There's two threads that are kind of long that we'll go through. So you guys tell me which you prefer, a Columbus thread, Christopher Columbus from Foundering, or do you want to go through another Lena Ajit thread, which is the person I brought on last time where we covered what I called the Program to Chicken Hawk thread. In this one, it will be a thread covering the Long Island serial killer related, one of the victims, Shannon Gilbert, and kind of the connections prior to her death, and what that may or may not mean, because I believe she was one, kind of like the more prominent one who died. I think it might be the one, if I recall correctly, kind of the one that kind of reopened a lot of this, and like at least whether it was interest or legally, I can't recall. I'm a little shady when it comes to this. I've had Shane on the show to talk about this. I don't have great recall of this case, but I also heard Lena, I guess, I didn't realize that, but someone told me that she was actually the helper of the lawyer that's covering that case, which I believe was over, that guy was on William Ramsey's show a while ago. I can't remember his name, the attorney. And he dropped a lot of new information about Huerman, the alleged killer, serial killer. And there's a lot of weird stuff, a lot of like snuff, SRA, like, you know, connections in his life. Very, very, very weird. I put out an invite to Lena to come on the show. And this was actually, funny enough, this is before I even knew about this. Someone told me she actually like may have some, you know, place in covering this case or working the case in a sense. But I had contacted her before I even knew that, just because I was like, oh, wow, I dig what she's doing. Assuming it's a she with a name like Lena. But, you know, I was like, I mean, hey, I knew it was a smaller account, but I was just like, they're putting out good shit. So I was like, hey, come on in. You're welcome to come on if you want to come on sometime. But, yeah, I definitely want her to come on now that I know if that's the case. So that'd be cool, because I've been wanting to cover that anyways. I was going to get Shane probably back on at some point to kind of cover some of the newer developments. But this is kind of more in this person's sphere, if it's who I think it is. So I'd love to have her on. So if on the off chance you see this, Lena, come on the show. But anyways, I know I rambled there, but you guys let me know which one you prefer. And whatever one I don't, I'll probably just maybe cover on the next one, because both of these aren't like time dependent. So you guys let me know. But yeah, let's go back through chat, see what else you guys say. Good morning. Show us your boobs. Here you go. $5. Oh, wait. $5. Wait, are you saying, by the way, I'm not sure if, I don't think Rumble Super Chat show up for me in my StreamYard studio, so I may have to manually go to Rumble. So I don't know if that's you saying that was a Super Chat. If so, I'm sorry. I've been bringing up most everything anyways. I appreciate Super Chats. Let me check over on Rumble on my phone and make sure that I haven't been ignoring any Super Chats over on Rumble. My bad if I have, but yeah, let me check. I'll bring that up, but I'll keep going through the chat, and I'll definitely be sure to bring up, whatever super chats there are. Oh, I got it up. I don't see any super chats. Okay, cool. Just making sure. I didn't want to make sure I wasn't ignoring someone's super chat. I'm kind of bringing up anything that seems like you guys are talking about, but if you want to give me money, cool. Which you can do that, patreon.com/NoJose2020, if you want to support this. I worry about this because my 19-year-old is autistic. Yeah, this is kind of fucked up, because, I think most of us are probably adults here, and we all remember when we were 16, 17, 18, 19, shit, even 20. We were fucking retarded. I mean, I had kids by then, but I still was pretty damn retarded. Like, and so it's kind of like, Jesus Christ, especially as a 16-year-old, I was retarded as shit. So, like, I don't know. And especially, like, the one in that story, the main one that then, like, before they kind of spiraled off into the other ones, the main one in that story, yeah, it was literally the fucking chick. I don't think it was the same one throughout is what it seems like they're saying, what he was saying in that. But at least it was, like, I guess when he was 18, it was some chick that was kind of throwing coochie at him, like, as if dangling above his head, and like, oh, we're gonna fucking get married and, you know, have kids and whatever. Probably it's like, that's fucked up, and especially as an 18-year-old, you know, dude, that's, yeah, I don't know, I don't feel like it'd be too hard for a cute chick to manipulate most 18-year-old boys into doing damn near anything. So pretty fucked up. All right, let's see what else we got. Everyone's saying hi, hi, hi. Hi, JC. Everyone's saying hi, hi, hi. Hi, JC, Jules, Zeros, Robin, Redbeard, Farm Girl, Arcane, Jose. Yes, thank you all for showing up. Terrorists aren't born. They're made by the FBI, 100%. What's up, retards? Getting teenagers retarded. Hi, Israel, Israel. Everyone's saying hi, 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 hi. Drag Clint on to talk shit about Luke. No, he doesn't want to talk shit about Luke. I mean, I think it's just kind of, which, good on him. I know we give him shit on the show, but, like, he's professional and really, like, really, I don't, I mean, if you guys, I think he laid it on the show, so I don't think I'm talking out of turn, but yeah, I'm pretty sure he said it on Tower Gang that he's just kind of like, hey, I just, you know, said I wanted to, you know, kind of came to him with like a proposal of like, hey, this is what I want to get paid. And he, I don't think he ever even heard a reply, which, I mean, that, I guess that's a little bit, it appears to be unprofessional to me, but I don't know. I didn't see the messages or anything, so I don't really know the exact, you know, context, but anyways, yeah, I mean, it was just kind of like a business agreement that, like, they, you know, decided not to. I don't know. So, I mean, which, to be fair, I don't know. I don't know all the different things. I don't know to what extent, you know, Luke values the exposure Clint gets from that, how you quantify that monetarily, blah, 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 or what kind of budget he has. I don't know. Point being, hey, it was just a business agreement. They didn't come, or a business decision. They didn't come to an agreement on terms, and, you know, they're both parting ways. There's no reason for them to shit on each other. I don't really watch the show enough to really know if there was any animosity between them or any reason to talk shit. I don't really know enough about Luke to talk shit about him. I mean, he seems, everything I've ever seen, he seems all right. I don't know. I don't have any problems with him. So, and I haven't really heard any, like, serious complaints from Clint. I mean, we dog on, you know, sometimes on Tower Gang and just joke around about, like, Luke, how he, like, always will bring girls on the show and stuff. And it's like, but yeah, at the same time, I don't have any issues with Luke. He seems all right. He seems pretty knowledgeable, knows a lot of good shit. I mean, he seems okay. I don't know. Why isn't Rebel let you say the N-word? And I'm only saying the N-word because I'm on YouTube, as opposed to saying the actual N-word. Just saying, guys. I'm not scared of the word. Why does it let you say in the chat, but YouTube doesn't? Wait, why doesn't Rumble? Oh, wait, that's weird. That's bizarre that Rumble would let you, or wouldn't let you, but YouTube would. Weird. I bet you, though, on people watching live on YouTube, I guarantee you that probably doesn't show up in the chat. Like, it only probably shows up for me being in the studio. All right. Don't label me. I'm still retarded. Thank you very much. From X, some BLGH. I stayed safe from FBI mind control by being on drugs. Yeah, that's what I did too. What's up, Jose from Mooksie Klang? What's up? Have you ever thought about doing an episode about the boys on the tracks in Arkansas? I feel like someone, maybe it was you, brought this up before. I don't know enough about this story, but I mean, from what I recall vaguely, I think someone told me a little bit about it. Couldn't even tell you. It sounds like something I'd be interested in. It's just a matter of finding me a guest that's like kind of their thing or one of their things, and they are capable of coming on and talking about it. So if you know of somebody that's the case, you know, message me on social media or something. So that way I don't forget about it or something, or, you know, or post something like, hey, so-and-so, go on No Way Jose to talk about this or whatever. I'm all for people doing that sort of stuff. Makes it easier for me so I don't have to hunt down conversations. And that does sound like something I'd be interested in. Raven forgot to raid that motherfucker. No, it's okay. I don't even know how to raid. So any news about Tower Gang tonight? I heard there might not be an episode. I'm going to let you know. I don't think there's going to be an episode. We had some chatter about maybe doing one, and then no one ever followed up. So I don't think we're doing one. And I honestly kind of prefer that. That way, this weekend, we have Bohemian Grove. I would like for it to fall perfectly. The Tower Game that we perform at Bohemian Grove will be episode 200. But by the way, actually, that's a good segue for... I want to go ahead and bring... I want to do this real quick. I want to bring up... And sorry for my audio listeners. I would just recommend for those audio...
If you want jazz music, go to New Orleans. Bagels, New York. And for psychics, think California Psychics. You want the best, you go to the best. At California Psychics, home of free spirits and open minds, we know better than anyone what makes a good psychic. That's why we guarantee, if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com and experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the Reproductive Rights Amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.
Go out there. You might want to fast forward this, because you're not going to get anything from this unless you're looking at it visually. But I just wanted to just kind of show you, I might even just mute it, because I don't know if there's much you guys get out of the audio experience. You guys can see. Yes, Bohemian Grove in Summerfield, Florida, October 25th and 26th. That's this weekend. So, pretty much at this point, you're not like, if you're out of state or something, the chances of you coming down on Friday, which is 2 days from now, pretty slim. But if you're nearby, you may want to consider coming down, hanging out. It's going to be a fun time. October 25th, 26th, that's Friday, Saturday night or afternoon. I'm not sure exact time the festivities begin. I believe you can get the tickets on toblobster.com, obviously with more specific information. But yeah, let's go and play this. This is a little thing they put together for it. Okay, yeah, turn down the volume a little. There you go. See, that sounds nice and silky smooth. But yeah, see, audio list is not getting shit out of this. Yeah, you can see they did this last year already once. So this is the second Bohemian Grove. The first time was run by Sam. It was kind of like a Sam Tripoli event, and now we're making it an annual thing. And it's kind of like a Nephilim Death Squad thing. Maybe in the future we'll get our Tower Gang Rapapalooza thing as well. That'd be cool if we had like two Tower Gang related festivals of some sort, or whatever you want to call these. But yeah, it should be a lot of fun. As you can see, the last one was pretty fun. We're doing a similar thing, doing kind of stand up, hang out, live podcast. It's gonna be a good time. Some of the people you see here, will be back again. You got Paranoid American, Sam Tripoli. I was not able to make it. He was originally supposed to, I believe, but stuff came up. But Paranoid American, Jay Dyer, obviously all the Tower Gang homies, we're all coming down for that. So a lot of you guys, I'll be there. Leonardo Joni is gonna be the one kind of doing the podcast, or not the podcast, but the comedy side of things. And I think we might have, so I think maybe Jay might do it. I don't know. But we got a bunch of people I'm probably forgetting. I know Juan on Juan. Josie, the redheaded libertarian, will be there. I can't really even see that picture. I'm just kind of spouting off what I remember off the top of my head. There's other people I'm forgetting as well. But point being, if you guys should consider coming down. It should be a fun time. But we're going to do episode 200 of Tower Gang there. So, yeah. I don't know how that's going to work for so far as getting released later. Maybe we'll figure out a way to do it live. I am not sure the logistics on that. That is all to be TBD. Sorry, that's probably not happening. But anyways, guys, let me know. I haven't got to the point in the chat. So between the Lena Ajit thread or the Columbus thread, they're both fairly long, so I don't want to spend too much longer here. But yeah, I wish someone would cover Boys on Tracks too. Yeah, okay, well, sounds like you guys want this. If you guys know somebody who that's their thing, or knows anything, it doesn't even have to be like a content creator, just someone like even a journalist or anyone that's like had anything to do with this, because I am not the guy to just like take a random story that I'm not already compelled to do or whatever and cover it. But if you bring someone who's already done the work, I can talk about it and they might bring me along to where I am, like, oh shit. All right, it's about Bill Clinton running drugs with the feds in the 80s when he was governor at the time. Hell yeah, dude. Yeah, see, I would love that. And that does, like, probably in a roundabout way, probably can even tie that into like PatCon, OKC, stuff like that. Yeah. No way, Jose. I just watched Ninth Gate last night. Can't wait to hear you guys talk about it. All right, back to work. Luke stinks anyways, and Clint seems like he holds his punches. Jose should do that one. Yeah, seems everyone wants me to do that one. Yeah, guys, I'm telling you, find whether it's a journalist who covered it, anybody. I would like to. Sounds interesting. What the fuck? Oh, I had a cat jump up somewhere and hit the wind chimes in here. All right, number two sounds juicier to me right now. That kind of day. That's a Lena one, I believe. So we'll say foundering number one, Lena. So the Christopher Columbus one, and then we got Shannon Gilbert, Long Island serial killer number two.
all right, Toad is traveling tonight. Yeah, that's true. Toad won't be there even if we do it. That was kind of the joke of why we were like actually semi-seriously considering maybe doing one tonight. So maybe there will be one tonight just to piss off Toad. But I don't think we are. Yeah, Toad is coming on Sound Science and me and Paranoid American. Yeah, it should be cool. Yeah, I've heard there's a drag show after party. That should be interesting. I hope it's after Tower Gang. That'd be hilarious. We were talking about twink prices earlier, Jose. Yeah, I don't know if the whole thing's going to be live streamed, Arcane. I'm sorry. I don't think... What? No, don't say that. Okay, boom, boom, boom. The mom is still alive? I don't know who that is. So, once again, you know, message me on Twitter is probably the best place. If you have someone, or, you know, post something like, hey, so-and-so, if they're also a person on Twitter, cause yeah, I mean, give me somewhere to start. Help me out here. It seems like you guys know more about this than I do. All right. She was the one trying to prove her son wasn't falling asleep on the tracks and got ran over during spotlight hunting with a friend that died. Okay. Yeah. Well, it sounds like the mom might be the one. I mean, hell, even if someone could just message me and give me a name, that way I have it somewhere substantive as opposed to just in a live chat that I probably won't ever look at again. But yeah, I know. We got one lean. I haven't got heard anything else from anybody else. Yeah, Robin's a bit fed-free TG. Yeah, minus Toad. Well, all right, it sounds like you guys want to go with the Lena one. I mean, that one's kind of long. Okay, let's do that, and then I think we're going to kill it after that. Unless a few people come in here and say otherwise and want to do the Columbus one. Or maybe I'll just pull an audible and do the Columbus one anyway, since we did the Lena one last time. Let me look through. Let's see how long this one is. Well, they're about the same length each. Fuck it. All right, let's do the Lena one. I'm just surprised you guys want... All right, let's do it. Let's do it. Bring it up. Lena. All right. All right, next time we'll probably do the Columbus one. Let's see. What the fuck? What is going on? I swear, these assholes get all nuts when it's just me over here. Somebody knocked over something somewhere. I don't know what, but... All right, sorry. I know you guys didn't hear that, but I just heard a big crash. Maybe you heard the crash. I don't know. Hope it's not anything that's a big of a deal, but we'll see. All right. All right, let's get into this. All right, you guys, multi-million dollar escort rings, money laundering, narco trafficking, Big Suffolk and Little Hudson, retracing Shannon Gilbert's connections leading up to her murder. July 2nd, 2007, acting on an independent tip, police contacted Shannon Gilbert and others in a Route 17 hotel by Upper Saddle River, New Jersey. At the time, Shannon was an employee of Lace Party Girls, a New Jersey-based escort service where Shannon purportedly met her boyfriend, Alex Diaz. I believe I skimmed through this earlier. Keep in mind these names, Alex Diaz. I think that'll probably come up later. You can still find the Lace Party Girls website on the Wayback Machine, complete with listings of women, and a claim the agency offers services in the Tri-State area 24 hours, 7 days a week. All right. Which I'm pretty sure a lot of these girls that were these Long Island sitcoms, they were a lot prostitutes. So just throwing that out there. So you guys know that's kind of like a key component of this. If you're not familiar with the Long Island serial killer case, I'm not going to give you a great summary here. I did an episode with Shane Cashman forever ago, so you probably can look that up. You probably find that if you just, you know, search Shane, you know, Way Jose or some shit, I'm sure you can find it. So if you want to, you know, run up on that, but yeah, basically a serial killer, most of them were, you know, like I said, prostitutes. So that's the long and short of it. All right. The proprietor of Lace Party Girls and employer of Shannon, seemingly not arrested in the sting of the Route 17 hotel in Upper Saddle River, was Joseph Ruiz. All right. Just Ruiz. All right. Where are we going here? June 30th, 2009, Ruiz is arrested on charges of money laundering, leader of narcotic network, promoting prostitution, and conspiracy. A search warrant is executed at 40 Leonard Street and 173rd Sherman Avenue in Jersey City. Below is the arrest report I obtained from the Hudson County PD. By the way, this is her pinned tweet, so for anyone who wants to go... By the way, for those who don't know what pinned tweet is, it's just like the one that they put at the top of their thing. So it's like if you go to someone's page, you can see it. But this is her pinned tweet, so if anyone wants to go find it, pretty easy to find. But yeah, okay, Ruiz rested. So 2007. Okay, so there was the 2007 one. Shannon Gilbert was arrested there.
And others. Somehow the Ruiz guy didn't get in that one. But then in 2009, a couple years later, then they got him on money laundering, leading a narcotic network, prostitution conspiracy. Okay, all right. Just kind of summation there. At the time, local papers reported that Ruiz's enterprise, World-Class Party Girls, laundered over $3 million a year in drug and prostitution profits. John's credit card bills had tabs as high as $100,000, and that drivers would deliver drugs upon request. Okay, so the papers were reporting that they were, you know, delivering drugs as well. Okay. I will say the laundering $3 million does not surprise me. I mean, even on just on prostitution alone, I feel like, I don't know. I feel like they probably rake in a lot of money. I mean, if you got enough girls, so I don't know. But the drug thing gets a little bit like, oh, shit, what's going on here? Okay, nope. Prosecutors refused to provide the names of the Johns, insisted nobody in the public eye was a client of Ruiz. Okay, so they wouldn't give up the names of the Johns here. So this seems to be kind of already implying the many times we've seen prostitution networks go down, salacious prostitution networks go down with claims of there being, you know, important people involved, and somehow we never find out who those people involved were. The Johns, essentially. And here's another example of that. Like, what is it? Was it just part of the Franklin scandal? I know there was one with the boys in the, that they brought to the White House or whatever. I forget. I know I've talked about it with Austin before, but that reminds me of that. That there was all reports of there being all sorts of politicians and prominent people, and, you know, there are legal arguments about why they should release some of these, blah, 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 and, oh, no, never mind, we're not doing that, or evidence gets glossed, or whatever it ends up being. All right, I have a hard time believing someone good for 100,000 open tab of coke and girls wasn't in a prominent, lucrative position in the public eye. Yeah, fair. No, I mean, I just have a hard time believing that, like, in a what looks like kind of like an ups a nicer looking. I mean, maybe they'll show other photos later. Let me see. Let's look at this. I don't know. I guess it just kind of looks like some spam nonsense. So I can't judge that too much. But all right, let's keep going. Based on documents I obtained from the Hudson County Prosecutor's Office, for some reason labeled as confidential, 11/19/2020. A grand jury returned an indictment of Ruiz, Shannon, and others. More on Kimberly Drum later. Release an indictment. Okay. All right. Note, the World-Class Party Girls website can still be found with a few images intact on the Wayback Machine. Rates for outcalls started at $500 an hour to $3,500 an hour. All right. Like, I mean, I don't know much about prostitutes rates, but seems expensive to me. Clearly not a low-end service that Ruiz was running. Okay, so obviously that's the implication that, like, getting at that, oh, supposedly they had no high-end Johns and there's nothing to be concerned about is, like, anyone in any sort of positions of power or anything concerning so far as Johns. But if you're looking at a prostitution ring in the realm of $500 to $3,500 an hour, I don't know. That sounds like something that somebody in a position of prominence would be more apt to take advantage of. Like, let's be real. If I was seeing prostitutes regularly or something, I don't think I would be doing anything in the $500 an hour. Just not in my budget. It's just not. Like, I'm sorry. I don't know what the normal rates are, but I just, that's the rates don't work for me. I'll just go ahead and tell you that. If I was buying coochie on the reg, that would be too much for me. So, and I'm a dude. I like coochie. So even if it was coochie, I like it. I'm not paying that much for it. I'm sorry. If I were to even, that's a hypothetical here. Just saying. Just kind of point out, trying to put a brass tacks here, how we look at it. I just feel like my impression of $500 to $3,500 an hour is you're dealing with upscale clients. That's just what I'm guessing. In short, at the time of her death, Shannon Gilbert had a standing indictment as a co-defendant in the Ruiz/First Professional Referral Services/World Class Party Girls case and was due in court only a week or so after she disappeared on, holy shit, that's a word, that's a place, isn't it, on Walpurgisnacht, holy shit, May 1st, 2010. Okay, so she had a she had an indictment as a co-defendant in this when she died or when she disappeared. Okay, so at the time she was set to go on trial for that. Okay. Closer look at Ruiz shows he operated multiple legitimate and illegitimate businesses / companies at the time of his arrest. Here are just a few. Local Green Maid, The Kebab House, World Class Companions, Everything Legal, Liquid Assets International. They're all LLCs, except for World Class Companions. Doesn't say LLC beside it. Okay. All right, they just sound like generic businesses. Kebab House sounds like something you'd see in a fucking mall or something. Which I guess these are the kind of places that you're like, these probably are money laundering, but whatever. Below is a list of domains Joseph Ruiz registered in his own name before and after his 2009 arrest. Note the payment processing websites. I'll get to his post-FPRS arrest businesses ventures later. Okay, well, for the audio people out there, there's a probably, I don't know, what do we say here? Maybe 100 or so. Maybe, I don't know, maybe like 50 to 70 different domains he's purchased. But I don't know. I don't know to what extent that means. I mean, I don't know. They all seem to be slightly different variations of similar things. For example, you got adultcardservice.com, adultcardservices.com, cleargoldrx.co, cleargoldrx.com, cleargoldrx.info, escortcardservice.com, escortmerchantservice.com. So see how these are all like, a lot of them are different variations of a very similar thing. I don't know enough about money laundering, but that would seem like if I was going to launder money, that like that maybe you would do it that way. Because I mean, like, I don't know. I feel like there's got to be a reasoning for that. Or maybe it's just a matter of that whenever he created these different separate businesses, he couldn't decide on a name. Or maybe he was like, oh shit, maybe this will be future businesses I start. I don't know. Point being, it looks weird that like there's probably like multiple different what seem like the same business, but with four, like 3 to 5 different variations on it for the domain name. I don't know. I'm not a tech nerd, so maybe there's something else to be thought of there. I don't know. You guys tell me. Who owned 173 Sherman Avenue, the house out of which Ruiz ran his escort ring, you might ask? Paul Benson. All right, so keep in mind, Ruiz is a guy who was slinging old Shannon Gilbert around. And then the house he was doing, this is Paul Benson, who was the house he ran out of. At the same time, Ruiz was using Benson's building to house his escort ring. Benson's businesses, Alpine Restoration and Inc., and others were registered to 173 Sherman. Okay, so he was using this as his, you know, address for his business location. So I don't know. I don't know what the suggestion is here. Because I would assume the idea would be that, like, he was renting this place out or something. And so he's able to kind of try to wash his hands clean of it. And I'm not even saying he needs to watch. Maybe he didn't have anything to do with it. I don't know. We'll get into that. So this doesn't necessarily mean anything. Now, I guess it is weird that he uses this, what maybe is a rental property for business address, or maybe not. I don't know. I know I'm probably would be pretty bad about if I change addresses, changing my shit. Probably would just be like, fuck it, whatever, just leave the old addresses for there. Although I guess that means you'd receive mail for that. I don't know. I'm kind of just talking a little bit, you know, thinking out loud a little bit. I don't know what to make of that. It just so happens that only 4 months after Ruiz goes down and a search warrant is served on Benson / Ruiz's building on Sherman Avenue, Benson is busted for acquiring and distributing CP by none other than Dominic Verone of the Suffolk County Police Department. All right. Okay, well then, never mind. Now that gets a little bit more substantive in my head. Now the pattern recognition is starting to ping. Before I was being fair and being like, I don't know, maybe he's just renting the house out. I don't know, not too crazy, but all right. I mean, he still could be renting the house out, but he's also some dude's, you know, supposedly, allegedly slinging child or CP. So I don't know, makes me a little bit more open to the idea that this guy had something to do with some other stuff going on. So all right, yep. And you guys can see there's a newspaper article of this. You guys can go check that yourself. Why would SCPD aid an investigation in Bergen County? All right, who's SCPD? I don't know what to make of that. Suffolk County Police Department. Okay. All right. Why would SCPD aid an investigation? Oh, okay. I missed that detail. Why would Suffolk County Police Department aid an investigation in Bergen County? So this wasn't even their jurisdiction. So okay.
makes you wonder, what's going on here? Why are you guys working in tandem here? Maybe some sort of investigation together. Why would Dominic Verrone, chief of Suffolk Police, direct the investigation into Benson, the man who owned the building Shannon Gilbert likely frequented and worked out of half a year before Shannon would be murdered? Why would Dominic Verrone direct the investigation to Benson? I don't know. I don't know if that maybe I'm missing something that I don't know. Maybe my thought didn't go to that. I don't know. Maybe more will be revealed why this should be suspicious. Maybe I'm missing something here. It was Dominic Verrone, tasked at the time as chief of police with investigating Shannon's murder, who proposed the absurd lie that Shannon's death was a tragic accident and that Shannon had succumbed to exhaustion, her skinny jeans simply peeled off by the brush of the marsh. Okay, now it gets a little more substantive. I mean, still not really any like substance, but it gets a little bit more pattern recognition-y. Like, whoa, little pings the mind. Yeah, okay, weird. Okay, so he's the one who kind of proposed that it was an accident as opposed to being killed. So, okay, seems like maybe he knows more or something. All right. With a certainty, concurrent and possibly overlapping investigations into Paul Benson's and Joseph Ruiz's involvement in trafficking, either the highest ranks of SCPD are so obtuse as not to recognize a major connection to one of their own investigations. Okay, she's putting it together for me a little bit now. Or the disappearance and botched snow job of investigation to the murder of a young woman working for an escort ring / human trafficking enterprise likely known to SCPD before her actual murder in their own country is indicative of a cover-up from start to finish. Okay. I need to kind of like work that back through my head. Okay, so then since they're handling both investigations and they didn't notice a connection, and then kind of botched that. Okay. Because, yeah, you would think that this would be an angle you would investigate. Like, what there's obviously some sort of joining between the Benson CP stuff. Like, you would think there'd be some sort of connection between that and then this. And they're being investigated by the same department. Okay. All right. I got it. I wish I were holding back information, files as the investigation of Ruiz's enterprises in Jersey City, but Hudson County seems to retain few records. Apparently a larger task force was involved in the Shannon Ruiz case. Sound familiar? And the file cannot be located. All right, a larger task force was involved. I don't know what these files are that she's got here. This particular file is almost 15 years old. The named involvement was involved in criminal matters, which were part of a larger task force whose records may be confidential. Oh, now I get the idea of the Johns from earlier. So it's the idea of maybe this is some sort of effort to protect the Johns, while still kind of managing the downfall of some of the lower players or even the major players, but you're at least protecting the Johns, who are probably powerful people. It's kind of the impression I'm getting here, but I might be wrong. All right, where is Joseph Ruiz now? As of 2022, he's in a federal penitentiary for leading conspiracy involving the distribution of wholesale quantities of synthetic cannabinoids and laundering millions of dollars with who else but Kimberly Drum. All right, who's Ruiz again? All right, Joseph Ruiz is... Okay, Ruiz is the guy running the ring that Shannon was in part of. Okay, and laundering million dollars with who else but Kimberly Drum. All right, I forget who Drum is. I don't know if this was mentioned in here before, earlier. Drum. I'm trying to think of what the significance of this Drum character is. Or if this is just assuming that we recall... Okay, more on Kimberly Drum later. Okay, what are we talking about Kimberly Drum for? Am I missing something? All right, whatever. Maybe we're about to go into it, because I'm not seeing anything about Kimberly Drum. Maybe it's just assuming that you knew more about this case, because I can't remember this name, the significance of it. All right, let's keep moving. All right, Ruiz is accused by the feds of operating the Spice Network from 2017 through 2019, and that's where things get even murkier. Below are a list of addresses operated by Ruiz, Drum, and Drum sister Turner from page 6 of the federal indictment. So here's the businesses. A lot of similar looking ones to what I saw earlier.
You know, at least so far as like the domain name. So like Mad Chemist Incorporated is listed here, for example, that I recognize that. So that was clearly a domain name for that. There's other ones that are like, yeah, New World Enterprises. I mean, but these all look familiar from before, earlier. So, okay. Yep. So more of their, all right. If you cross-reference the names of Ruiz's companies with the dates the feds say they were active with the dates that Ruiz registered the domains for the companies, you see a significant discrepancy between Ruiz set up the companies versus when the feds claim they were active. Okay, and she provides pictures to corroborate that. I'm just going to take her word for this. I'm not going to break that all down. Some light is shed on the judicial treatment of Ruiz in 2009 via his 2022 federal indictments. He spent only 3 months in prison and his record expunged in 2019. Okay. Okay. It's 22. Yeah, only 3 months in prison and has record expunged. Okay, that seems. Now, what did he get ended up getting actually hit with? I don't know, but it is like it's weird that that's ends up what happened because he had some pretty. Staunch fucking charges, it seems like. Benson, too, seems to have gone off with only... Okay, now Benson, he was a CP guy. All right, Jesus. All right. All right, this is getting a little sketch. Because, yeah, this dude, the guy running the trafficking network, which I believe that's... All right, either way, whatever, 3 months. And then the Benson guy gets a slap on the wrist with 364 days in county and even attempted an appeal to withdraw his guilty plea and petition for post-conviction relief. All right, this guy gets just a day short of a year, and this is for CP. So that's wild, which that's not – it is astounding when you start digging into these sorts of things how often – I mean, obviously, it's certain types of cases I'm digging into, so I don't know to what degree that's a representation of reality of how often this happens or the type of charges people tend to get for these sorts of things. But, you know, especially when you're looking into things like, I don't know, Franklin scandal or Finders. I'm just throwing out. When you're looking into these sort of rings where there are people, it just seems to be a commonality that there'll be some dude who gets for CP just a few months, under a year, whatever. It's kind of gross. You're like, Jesus, that's really, is it? I don't know. I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know if that's just normal, if that's like all you get for these sort of things, but it seems pretty wild to me that this would be a common thing. Because, I don't know what outrages people more than that. Below are documents I obtained from Bergen County Police and DA's office. By the way, Benson was caught transmitting CP to an undercover SCPD officer in a chat room. All right, so it sounds like they got him pretty damn near red-handed. Okay, and complaint warrant. Okay, this is a warrant. I'm not going to read all that. There might be useful information in that, but can't really see it that well on my desktop, to be honest with you. All right, let's keep it moving. No, the court made such absurd claims as defendant's conduct is considered repetitive and not compulsive. And that Benson is essentially a well-respected man about town, unlikely to reoffend. So they're saying that it's compulsive. This sounds like if someone's like a smoker, like, which by the way, I'm still holding strong. I still haven't done any nicotine since, for those who follow me on, I think I might have mentioned on the show once or twice, but I quit nicotine altogether, like a month and a half, 2 months. I don't know. I'm really bad at keeping track of time. I'm still nicotine free. But point being, this would be like if someone's like, why don't you quit? And you're like, oh, I could. You know, it's like that same type of vibe. It's like, oh, my conduct is repetitive, not compulsive. Like, I'm not compelled to smoke. It's just a repetitive thing I do. Like, okay, I don't know. It's also kind of like, so? I guess the argument is kind of like whether they'll reoffend. So his idea is like, well, I'm not compelled to. I don't have to. So I'll just stop now because it was just a repetitive behavior, not a compulsive one. Like, I don't know. Lawyer bullshit. It just seems like if someone's making this argument, I'm like, I don't care whether it was repetitive or compulsive. Fuck you. It's worth noting that Benson was a wealthy area businessman, had $1 million home. Okay, all right. And his well-known contracting company was estimated to have raked in $2.5 to $5 million a year with 20 to 49 employees. He still seems to still be working as a contractor under the name Paul Williams. All right, so he changed his name too. To be fair, if I got busted for CP, I probably would too. Okay. Yeah, all right. I don't have any thoughts on that. Just kind of the judge on Benson's disposition, Liliana Diavila Celebi. All right. Was removed from the bench and her pension revoked for ethics violations and a non-committant attempted cover-up of her corruption. Okay. So there was ethics violations and then she tried to cover it up. So she got busted for the cover-up as well, is what it sounds like to me. Okay. Well, all right. So she's kind of shitty and open to the idea of corruption. Does that mean there was corruption here on her part? Not necessarily, but it definitely implies there could be. What is the latest on Paul Benson, you might ask, only crashing out of the sky in a helicopter on an unregistered flight path originating from Richmond Executive Airport in Virginia? All right, and that's the CP dude. Oh, wow. Oh, a fucking helicopter crash. Oh, a private airplane crash. How convenient. All right, well, yeah, that's the end of that thread. Yeah, pretty good one. Interesting. Just brings up some thoughts. Makes you think maybe something's being left out of here. They're not telling us something. All right. Yeah, things are being hidden from us. So, all right, let's go back through the chat. Oh, it fucking brought me. See if I can. I'll go through the chat and then we'll get out of here. See a lot of people saying, just kind of a little chit chat. Can't jingle bear. Foundering. Yes, guys, tell Foundering to come to the show. All right. But yeah, that's the. Probably next time we'll probably cover his Columbus thread. I thought that was interesting. I'm going to scroll through here. Let's see. Don't be gay for McVeigh. Don't be a Fed for Ted. I don't know. I can't think of anything else that rhymed better. Yeah. I do like your new shtick. Don't be gay for McVeigh. And while you being an Uncle Ted guy, which don't get me wrong, Uncle Ted, pretty dope. Aside from all the killing people, pretty smart. $3,500 an hour is affordable if you last less than a minute. Yeah. I mean, I don't think it gets prorated though. So yeah, if that were the case, sure. You buy all the permutations of your URL as you can when you own a business. It's just one business and a bunch of redirects to the one you plan on using. Okay, cool. Thank you. I'm glad. See, I learned something today. I'm glad I have you guys here with me. Because, I mean, I see that. I'm like, I don't know. Should I think that's suspicious? Is it not? It seems weird to me. There's all these variations. It almost seemed like it'd be some sort of methodology to more easily, I don't know, diffuse the appearance of your money. Almost. I don't even know how to explain it. It almost seems like a money laundering trick to me to have like multiple things. That way you can play fast and loose. Kind of the idea, like, say, for example, Roger Moore. I'm going to be a little gay for McVeigh here. Roger Moore, one of the things that made him glow was that he got busted so many times for different things that never seemed to get in trouble. One of them was... one of the times the reasoning why he didn't end up getting busted and they just kind of let it go is because they were looking for the wrong Roger Moore, who didn't fit his description at all. And it was just an easy way for them to go like, oh, well, fuck, wrong Roger Moore, I guess. Okay, we'll just keep moving on. By the way, one of the times he literally, I think, sold C4, I think, to a ATF guy. So, like, dude's probably a Fed. Just saying. And then he didn't end up getting in trouble, so... Seems like some Fed-on-Fed action is what it sounds like to me. But just throwing it out there. Also, he clearly was working with people involved with Iran-Contra and selling boats to these people and all sorts of other weird, sketchy things. And oh, now he's fucking hanging out with McVeigh. And then, oh, wow, McVeigh fucking robbed him now to fucking fund the Oklahoma City bombing, even though the robbery looked like a complete put-on. Just saying. All right. Let me see. What did I do? You know what the most common denominator in all these wild-ass cases? I don't know. Do the naked cats get more cut up when they play with the furry ones? I don't know. I mean, I will say, like, if they're fighting or something, they're probably going to get more fucked up. Because, I mean, part of what hair is like a armor to some extent. It you know, prevents, you know, reduces some of the damage to some extent. Southern District of New York. Okay. Yep, sounds like another intel agency blackmail ring. My boy, are you voting Trump? No, I'm not voting. Voting's gay. Do it if you want. I don't care. I literally value just about anything else I could do with my time. As long as it's not something destructive to myself. I'm not even saying like people are wrong to vote. It's just that like mathematically speaking, literally anything else I do with those that bit of my time, even if I just mail in, is more valuable. like just statistically speaking, the difference my vote makes. Now, if I was, it'd be make more sense for me to try to compel you guys to vote. I'm not going to do that though, just because it's just, I don't know, just seems gay. And honestly, I've talked about this on my show already, or on the show already. I don't necessarily know. And actually, Dave just, I don't think I finished the episode, but I was listening to Dave's most recent episode. And yeah, he kind of said exactly what I had said like probably a few weeks to a month ago, is that I'm not entirely convinced that a Trump presidency is better than a Kamala presidency. And it's not to say that Trump's positions aren't better than Kamala's positions. It's just the reality of what happens when an individual takes up the presidency. How does this affect things? Like, just because a Democrat is in office doesn't mean things overall get worse for conservatives or even just like libertarians or whoever or whatever. It's counterintuitive, but you got to think about how these things actually play out. Like, the best example is probably, like, say, example, gun control. Like, people remember, and this is example actually Dave used, but I usually use this example too. Like, you look at when Obama was running, like, how many times there were gun scares, like, oh, they're going to take the guns, and never really did a damn thing, because there were Republicans were staunch against that, and like, no, we're not doing that, and as such, it didn't end up happening. Now, what happens when Trump gets office, and, you know, it's more likely that you can get things like gun control through, because the fact that the dynamic of how this plays out, now you have all the Republicans are more likely just to go with whatever their Republican leader says, and they're more likely to fall in line as opposed to being independent thinking people that actually have principles. So, you know, and this goes for both sides too. So, like, you know, when Trump's in office, the Democrats are probably more likely to fall in line with the values of people on the left, I guess, if that makes sense. I don't know. It works out better for what they want, which is things like, I don't know, gun control or whatever, for example. So that worked out better for them, didn't it? So, yeah, I don't think it's entirely clear. Like, you look how Trump's been on Israel. I don't think he's really been too great on it. I mean, it's not like, I guess I don't know if I'd say he's awful comparatively to other people. Still not great. I mean, he's still awful overall, but comparatively speaking, he's not awful. But I don't know. I just think like there's a good chance that then he takes that energy that's been built up over the past however many years of, you know, the America firsters that actually are kind of being like, hell no, we're not funding Israel's wars, we're not funding Ukraine's wars, and now it kind of subverts that energy, and now it becomes this, oh, well, we're not going to fund Ukraine's wars, but we'll fund Israel's wars still, and then it's like, now it becomes this cognitive dissonance thing, and it kind of takes these people off the proper path. So, no, I'm not voting Trump. I'm not voting Kamala either, so it's like, just because I made the case that it might actually be better, because Kamala's a joke, so if she gets in office, it's like, think about how, what's the word I'm for, I can't think of the word. Think about how activated, I guess you could think, the Republicans will be, especially the good ones. The ones that are generally kind of better, like Matt Gaetz is a good example. Like, that motherfucker was the one, you know, flouting about that Iran bullshit. But, like, let's be real. If he is kind of generally one of the better ones, but if there was a Kamala in office, I guarantee you he's going to be out there running on all the sort of stuff that, like, me and most of my audience are like, all right, that's pretty dope. Hell yeah. But if Trump's in office, how do you think this guy's going to fall? He's going to fall pretty damn establishment, pretty damn borderline neocon-y. And I feel like that's likely how it'll play out. Because he's going to more or less fall in line with, you know, the party at that point, especially as it's being led by Trump, or how it's being led by Trump. I think it might be compulsive. I just grabbed a cigar the second you mentioned nicotine. I'm not voting either because it's fake and gay. I'm also a woman. Yeah, there you go. Have your wife fill out the mail-in ballot, bro. I mean, my wife wants to go through the effort of doing that, sure. But my wife's probably not doing it either, so... Jose could pull in a conspiracy extremist and Ryan Toda's content. Nope, I don't care enough. I don't know if Trump went through it once before. This time, Vivek and Bobby have concrete plans to clean house. All right, maybe Vivek, but you've got to be out of your fucking mind if you think RFK is doing a goddamn thing. I'm sorry. Like, I don't know. If you have paid attention to him on Israel, and I get it, like, everyone's like, he's great on everything but Israel, but look how fucking cucked he is on Israel. So, like, yeah, he may clean some house, but only to the degree to which his handlers will let him. I mean, I don't. At this point, I don't know how it could be any clearer. I mean, he's clearly, there's some skeletons in his closet that's keeping him from doing shit. So, I mean, sure, it'd be cool if he fucking did things better, but like, it's more or less likely to kind of come into that point I was making with subversion. He's more likely to kind of have a similar effect to kind of what I was implying Trump would, in that like kind of be this great white savior that comes in, and now it's kind of like, well, I don't know, maybe we should give the land to Israel, or maybe we should, you know, spend however much money. We should fucking add 40% money to our fucking our economy. That won't make a fucking difference. We should print like damn near half the money supply in 1 year. No fucking big whoop. Like, yeah, no, I'm sorry. That means nothing for me. Vivek, yeah, a little bit. Okay, he's kind of better. Like, I think Vivek, yeah, maybe he's some sort of con, but he's doing a good job at conning me. I'll give him that. Because, like, even, for example, like I've said before, the Israel thing I think is a good litmus test. I recall when he was on the campaign trail, when he brought up Israel, and don't get me wrong, it is kind of like a wet fart, kind of like a soft dick, kind of like, but he was kind of like, you know, we're going to, I can't remember, it was kind of like, we're going to tell Israel to, like, woohoo, but, like, do it yourself, like, so, which, whatever, like, that is, like, I know that sounds for my audience, they're like, what a fag, but for, you know, comparatively speaking, like, he is one of the best people with a stance like that. Like, you could, the only way you could get any better for being a politician would be if you were Massey, and even then, Massey doesn't go, like, fuck Israel. He's still very much like, no, I just want to fund him. And he isn't, you're not very likely to ever hear like even a bad word about Israel from Massey. Like, which there are plenty of bad words to be had. I mean, Amash is probably the one who goes the furthest. And I don't think Amash actually is currently, actually in office. But either way, he was a politician at one point. But I mean, even him, he's going a little bit harder, but even like super hard. But they literally, I believe, killed some of his family members. So it's like, this is where we're at, like the, you know, with the people. But so Vivek to be where he's at in his stance, I think it said something. So like he very clearly was like, don't want to fund him, but like kind of like tried to shy away from it. So because I think he just knows the political dynamic there and is trying to be like, fuck, I don't want APAC on my ass, which I get it. So I'm just saying, comparatively, pretty damn good. But now Bobby cucked out completely. So, I don't know. He's nothing to me. And it's kind of like, cool, you say some good stuff, but I know where you're going to fall when it matters. And I'm not even saying that Israel's the most important thing. I'm just saying there are clearly people who have incentives to be in line with the establishment who have a hold on him. So he's only going to ever go as far as he's allowed to go. Now, I guess you could say maybe the people controlling him don't care about certain things that are things that you care about, so you maybe will get that, but you don't know that, and I don't know that either. All right. Let me see. RFK has survived thus far by being cucked in Israel. Yeah, sure. But still, that kind of still proves my point. I mean, whether it's like a necessary evil or not, it is what it is. The point being is he is not cleaning house. It's not. All right. Well, that's shit. Almost knocked over my drink onto my fucking on here. Well, all right, guys. Thank you for joining me today. I do want to give a quick shout out to the people who support this show. I also do want to let you guys know, if you do want to support the show, patreon.com, just No Way Jose 2020. The lowest level is $2. That's what will give you the early content for my normal No Way, like my not live streams. Which, by the way, tomorrow I have on, I actually don't know which one it is. It's the person running the Jones Plantation account. I'm not sure. I mean, who knows? Maybe that can be Larkin Rose. Maybe it's a producer. I don't know. Either way, I'm going to have whoever is running the account on. I need to ask them which one they are, just so I know. For those who aren't aware, Jones Plantation was a movie they made a while ago. It was kind of based on some of Larkin Rose's ideas. Obviously, it's kind of a metaphor or whatever of kind of like democracy and how they essentially implement it in a slave plantation to control them. So cool thing. But we're going to be talking about what are we going to be talking about? We're going to be talking about my brain fart. Oh, someone made some crazy schizo thread and about him. about how like they're a controlled op, some Mason thing or whatever. And we're going to go through it step by step, kind of the idea being like kind of when conspiracy theorists go too far type deal. And so we're going to kind of break it through. I mean, who knows? I'll give it a fair shake. Who knows? Maybe we'll go through the point by point, and then by the end I'd be like, oh shit, you guys are a fucking Illuminati fucking Mason, you know, Freemason op or some shit. Who knows? I'm going to give it a chance. I just thought it'd be fun to kind of go through that. And, you know, I've kind of wanted a reason to bring them on anyways. I'm a fan of Mark and Rose's. I haven't watched that movie yet. I'm going to probably try to watch it before tomorrow. I'm not just not a big movie guy. No hate against that. But, you know, I do like the idea. So, I've been looking for a reason, and this kind of thought it'd be fun. But anyways, if you want to get those early episodes, that one, like, that'll be up tomorrow, but you won't get it for publicly until, like, next Friday. I also still have that Amy Lepore one that hasn't come out that'll be out on Friday, talking about the hurricanes. So if you guys want that stuff, you want to get early, Patreon.com, Snow Jose 2020. Also, if you want to be like a face, kind of like a talking head on the screen alongside me and Austin on our weekly Already Dead series, you have to be either a patron of me or Austin, so... that's an option for you as well. That's our call-in show. But I have my guys who are the highest level. Like, $2 is what gets you that, though. So if you just want to give $2, it's appreciative. I mean, support what you want to see. So, you know, the more you support, the more you'll see of this, the more you'll get stuff like this. The better products I can put out. I mean, because I'm able to back off of real life. You know, this becomes more my work than... And as we talked before, you know... I would prefer not to be, you know, kind of get to go corporate and be entirely sponsor controlled. And I don't think I will. So I want to be, as I grow, I'd like to be mostly funded by you guys so that like I can tell sponsors to kick rocks. So I never feel like I'm controlled, or I have minimal to no sponsors, but I like Nadeau. So I'm keeping them around for now. Just saying, you know, that way we can keep that dynamic to a minimum. But I do want to give a shout out to my sponsors. I have my Patreon sponsors. I'm my co-host on Tower Gang at Tower Gang Toad. I also have at Abrogate D's, the homie, at Zoverack, at underscore Infant Zeal, then Jacob Daniel of the Biblical Anarchy podcast. Follow him at Biblical Anarchy. Then Tim Tuttle at Jolly on Klebold. Then Will Bell with Makes It Delicious Blueberry Rabbit Eye Wine. And then a big fan of the show at Real Josh Elliott. Appreciate you, those who are supporting me. I've seen like an influx of you guys lately, so that's cool. I guess maybe you guys are digging these morning threads. I've known a pickup and like been supporters since then. So I mean, I'm trying my best to kind of give you guys value where I can, squeeze it in where I can. I mean, obviously it's like, but you know, I don't know, I justify this because like, yeah, I'm going through stuff I haven't even read yet, kind of working these things. So you guys are coming along with me. Some of you guys seem to enjoy this. So let me know what you think. If you want to change in the format, whatever. If you feel like you're getting enough value of it, but whatever, I'm rambling enough. If you guys like this, please be sure to give this a like, you know, share, subscribe, comment, all that stuff. Boost this up in the algos for me, would ya? Oh, definitely follow me on Rumble as well. I got Bye from Soul Explorer Coaching, then Peace Jose. Have a good day, everyone. All right, we're out of here. Thanks everyone for showing up. Follow me on Twitter at Tower Gang Jose. Bye bye.
Do you feel like you're going through life clouded by doubt? Talk to California Psychics. Our trusted and accurate psychics are available 24/7, and we guarantee if it's not life-changing, it's free. Download the app or connect with us at californiapsychics.com. Right now, new customers get 80% off their first reading. Experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
This is Scott Campbell from the Stupid Things for Love podcast. I have a 7-year-old son, and the biggest mountain I climb every day is trying to put shoes on this child. And I'm so grateful to Skechers for making the only shoes my son will willingly put on by himself. Their slip-ons are amazing, and he doesn't have to deal with laces. He doesn't have to deal with anything. They come in the perfect color blue. Thank you, Skechers, the comfort technology company. And you can find Skechers everywhere, Skechers.com, a Skechers store, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.